Good day, listeners and viewers. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. Glad that you've decided to join us today. My name is Jonathan, and I've got Steven Cervantes here today. So how are you?
I'm blessed.
He's madly scribbling away over here.
I'm preparing for class today.
I mean, if you got this guy with a pen and paper in his hands, he's never stopping. He's always doing something. But well, Steven, you know, in this ministry, we've been doing for many, many years helping men. That was kind of our original focus, right? Was really helping guys. And specifically helping guys who were entangled in all kinds of sexual brokenness, whether that be sexual addiction or pornography or any number of things. And, you know, these guys are looking to us for help. And wouldn't you say that most of the guys, when they start coming to us for help, they have a clear idea of what they think they need fixed?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, listen, I'm addicted to pornography, or I'm having all these affairs, or I'm going to massage parlors, And so in their mind, it's like, that's what needs to be solved. Let me just stop doing these things that are really negative. But I think what our conversation is going to be about today is maybe helping these guys and the people who love them know, what is the actual goal? What is the actual thing that needs to be addressed? Because it's not those symptomatic behavior issues that are going on, right? There's something much deeper than that. So can you kind of tell us where maybe we're going to be going today in this conversation?
So the goal, I think, how do I say it, is oneness. It's bonding. It's connecting. So I often say it this way. The addiction and the addiction cycle and terms are sitting on one level, right? And if you get a guy to not act out and be caught up and escaping in fantasy and whatever he's doing, and you just put all that behavior in check, then you see the other program underneath it. And originally, we assume when a guy stops one behavior, he will immediately start bonding and connecting and growing a great union. But we quickly learned
that's not automatic.
Yeah, and he doesn't have those skills. If he had great skills, he would have been bonding and connecting to protect himself. Mm-hmm. But because he only knows how to live disconnected, you need something else that's more satisfying and distracting, because you live around someone, but you're not growing, you're not connecting, you're not bonding. And so the connection, this is where I've arrived at, the connection protects a man from being stupid. Mm. The better you're connected to your God and to your spouse or to your brothers or even to your children, the less you want to be stupid.
Yeah. It's like that. It's like those connections. And, you know, you could say those connections form community, right? We have a common unity. We have this relationship that we're connected to. There's something about how that pulls you out of yourself into a different kind of perspective, right?
That's right.
I mean, if you think about the natural order in which God created things, right? You go from childhood. And then when you transition into adulthood, the natural order of things, then there is this pairing of marriage.
Okay.
And then out of marriage, there is children. And so if you just look at the natural order, what is the progression that's going on there? More connections, more intimate connection. Because
yes, but I was going to say there are people that are married and yet they do stupid.
Right. No, we're going to talk about that. Okay. But I'm just saying, if you look at God's design,
okay.
From the very beginning, says, think about this amazing statement that God made. In a perfect, sinless, intimate relationship with the first man, Adam, it was God who said, you're in a state that's not good for you. Think about that.
Yeah.
God had a relationship with Adam, but he said, you're alone.
Yeah.
There was something about a human connection that was necessary. So God, from the very beginning in his design, said, you are not meant to live disconnected from other people. So even when guys try to privatize their recovery, say, oh, just me and God, right?
Yeah.
God's the one that says, that's not a good state to be in.
Mm.
Just you and me is not how I designed you. We need other people too.
Yes.
So, and then obviously sin, there's all this brokenness, and that's what we're going to be talking about. But even in God's design, there was a natural order in which I want you to be growing more and more into relationship, into connection.
Yes.
Through marriage, through so, kids and all that.
And so my statement was our relationships, you know, you would think marriage would protect you when you got married, but it's the connection to the other person that protects you. And yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean you're not going to do anything stupid ever. I'm not saying that. But the more closely bonded you are to someone, you don't want to let them down. You don't want to hurt them. You don't right. want to break the friendship or mess up the union.
And maybe we need to break down these terms when we say connection and bonding. Because as you're saying that, the thing that comes to my mind is it's not merely any kind of connection. Because, I mean, I can quote-unquote connect with the clerk at the grocery store,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It has to be something about the level of knowledge that another person has of me and I have of them, that as that connecting seems to go deeper and deeper,
yeah,
that's what maybe forms that safety of saying, you know what, because this person knows me and they're sticking with me and I know yeah. them, I don't want to go do something that's going to harm that's going to be stupid and right. harm me or harm them.
And we've created this sacred union and we're vulnerable to each other. So it's... I'm not trying to dismiss a spiritual principle here.
Right,
I'm just trying to provide an insight that just the marriage won't protect. Just because you have a certificate or a right. license or you said I do, there are people that live very distant and detached in their unions, right? Mm-hmm. And my point is, the more you're connected, probably the healthier you are. And you're right, it's better language, it's vulnerability, it's greater awareness. The closer you fight to tighten the bond with your spouse, you create this oneness thing that God put there. Mm-hmm. It ends up protecting us, right? Because God is one. He's about oneness, right? He's not about division. He's about oneness. And we're in Christ, and Christ is in the Father, and we're all one, he said.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this oneness thing that is... If we walk in that space, we're in power and strength.
Yeah, and there's not, you know, if you think about what all of our distractions cause, you mm-hmm. know, these things where we are not connecting, we're disconnected, all they do, they just create more confusion. They create a whole lot more things like anxiety, depression, all kinds of other, you know, emotional, mental disorders that we can have. And so I think... man, this really is central, because if you think about it, when you understand that concept of oneness,
yes,
and you are, you know, like you said, Christ is in us, we're in Him, He's in the Father. He gave us that picture in marriage that we are to be one.
Yeah,
there is an intended sense of safety in that. Like I'm not having to carry everything on my own. I'm not having to think through everything on my own. I don't have to be my own savior, my own solution.
Right.
There is a great sense of, you know, just like relief when you realize, I am designed for that type of community.
It's good. And
so where does it all go wrong?
Connecting is the most important goal of your life. Work on connecting, growing, bonding. I mean, lots of people live together, but they just live in the same space, right? He's watching TV in one room and she's in the other room watching TV. And it's like there's an opportunity for dialogue, for learning, for growth, for sharing. And we're living divided lives. And so remember, we thought originally if a guy stops using any acting out sexual inappropriate behavior, he'd immediately go home and he would turn all that energy on his wife. But what we learned is he doesn't know how to connect well. He never did learn that, and it's not very satisfying to live alone, so you find some distraction. Even when you have the potential for great union and oneness right there, if you don't have the skills or the vision, so then you have to ask yourself, where do we practice and learn and see this great connection? And so I'm going to ask a few questions here, maybe a little self-test, and okay. I'll answer them and you answer them. Were your parents close?
Well, see, defining close can be difficult. You know, I would say my parents were close in the sense that they were committed. They were, you know, they were on the same page about so many things. I wouldn't necessarily say that I remember seeing tons of physical affection, you know.
So were your parents emotionally close? That was good. You helped me clarify that. Because, yeah, we could wash the dishes side by side. Or we could
clean there was no discord in their conversation or anything like that, you know. But I don't know if I ever remember. I don't. And again, some of this could be my memory.
Sure, sure.
Not necessarily the truth. But I don't necessarily remember, like, seeing them cuddled on the couch or, you know. And keep in mind, I think part of it is because the generation in which they were raised had this mindset of parenting of, hey, when kids get to a certain age, like teenage or whatever, there is a stoicism that is valued. Yeah. This idea of, oh, we don't cross certain lines publicly in the sense of how we display affection or how we do those kind of things. So
right, okay. So my parents were a team, but I wouldn't say they were close. They lived in two different worlds.
Not in the sense of the emotional bondedness that we may be talking about here.
Right, right. And I'm saying, yeah, I did not see that in my parents. Yeah. And maybe that's why I'm on this mission. Yeah. You know, I'm looking for something.
So, and you know what? Can I just pause there for a second? Because I want us to point out the reality that in the work that we've been doing for a long, long time, the picture that we're trying to describe here of emotional bondedness is actually very rare. So I want the listeners to know, listen, this is not about trying to evoke any kind of shame or guilt because of the environment you may have grown up in, and you're saying, yeah, man, my, you know, because we've seen this at workshops a lot of times, right? Guys immediately want to start defending their parents.
Yes.
Because they were actually good people.
Right.
They weren't, you know, abusive, or they weren't, and yet what we're trying to talk about here is not about the goodness or the badness of your parents.
Good.
It's about, like, let's talk about emotional bondedness. Were they?
So we loved our parents, right? I love my parents. Did you love your parents?
I love my
parents. Isn't that about love?
Right.
But, and we honor our parents. Do you honor your parents?
Absolutely.
And I honor my parents. But I'm talking about being honest. We're adults and we're being honest. We're not trashing anybody.
Right.
We're talking about emotional closeness, and our parents are our trainers, and we watch them. And, you know, in brain science now, we're learning our brains literally copy our parents' brains. Mm. When a brain is forming, it is literally learning from another brain. So that's kind of important, because that's where our training came from. So we honor our parents. This is not a... But we're adults, and we can be honest. And I've had many conversations with my mother. My father's passed. I tried to have them with my father, but he was a very closed man. So did your parents talk and solve problems?
I think so. Now, here's what I would say on that.
Yeah.
The one thing I would say on that is there was a line at which they would take certain conversations into another room. In other words, I didn't get to see the full spectrum of talking things through when there might have been discord or disharmony or whatever. And again, that's that generational thing of, like, oh, you never argue in front of the kids, kind of a thing. My wife and I both grew up in homes like that, and guess what blew up when we got married? Like, what is wrong with us? Because we're arguing all the time. So we're doing something wrong, you know. It's like
So, but did you see your parents talk through and solve the differences they presented to each other?
I can't necessarily remember that. No.
Yeah. See, I don't remember. They would solve a problem. Do we need oranges or apples?
Right.
Yeah. They would solve that problem, but did they talk about their differences and what mother's needs were, what father's needs were? And did they talk at that deeper level? Did they have a level of respect for each other?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Respect was very high, a very high value in my home. And so that was all very much displayed between my parents.
Yeah, I would say that too. I think my father and mother would have some conflict, but respect means you don't trash the other person.
Yeah, you don't drag somebody
through
the mud.
Lose control. Yeah. Do you think your dad enjoyed your mother?
I do. I don't know if he necessarily always knew how to express that. In other words, my memory is giving me a sense that my dad really did enjoy my mother, just because the way he took care of her, I could tell. I can't necessarily say, let me point to example X, Y, and Z of specific moments in which I really saw, you know what I mean? In other words, I think.
But he laughed with her. They were like kids together. They played. Somehow there was joy shared in their little union.
I don't know if my parents were ever kids. But no, but I think, yeah, so that's a different angle.
Right, because I didn't see my dad enjoy my mother. Mm. I saw my dad criticize my mother. You know, and critique things and tell her what was wrong with this. And then he was sort of quiet. He wouldn't say much, and then he would say criticism. Then he wouldn't say much, and then he would tell her that this should have been done that way. So I saw my father critique and criticize my mother. I know my mother, my dad loved my mother. Yeah. But I didn't see him with the ability to emotionally make the connection well with her.
Yeah.
I mean, one guy who doesn't know what he's doing with one woman, he doesn't know what she's doing. And we're trying to figure out life. And who's ever done this before? You ever had kids this age before?
Right,
you ever been this age before? No, we don't know what we're doing. Nobody knows what they're doing.
And I think that's an important point to make. Sometimes with all of the quote-unquote self-help material that's out there, it's really important. Even as we're talking here, listeners, I want you to realize, you know, we're opening up about our histories and our past and everything. But here's the thing. There is no such thing as like an experience, an emotional wellness transplant. In other words, everything that you've experienced, all of the wisdom that you've gained, even the ignorance that you still have about it, you can't transplant that into me.
Right.
Now, you can share your experience of raising your kids and going through terrible, difficult things like cancer and death and these types. But I can't, that cannot be translated into me in the sense of like, oh, I totally have experienced that. Does that make sense?
Yes, but so what's the point?
So the point is we need to recognize that all of us carry this sense of we're on an individual journey.
Yes.
Now, we're meant to do that in community, right? But at the same time, as much as you may want to share all of your incredible wisdom insights of parenting, I'm going to still make my own decisions that are good or bad or whatever, you know?
So did your parents have pet names? And did they smile at each other and cut up and act silly?
Well, I will say this, and you've known me for a long time, and I think this has carried on into my own family. Laughter is a high value in my,
that's good.
And so there was, now there wasn't, one thing that I will say that I really appreciated about my parents when it came to laughter, it was not laughter at the expense of a family member.
That's good.
It was, we loved to laugh together. There were pet names. My dad was the king of nicknames. My friends growing up would always kind of roll their eyes and joke, be like, every time I see your dad, he gives me a different middle name, you know? So there was some of that in their personalities. Yeah.
So I didn't see my dad call my mom by a nickname or a pet name or a fun name. Do you have a pet name for your wife or a nickname? Do you cut up with your wife like that?
We cut up. I don't know if I necessarily have, she's got some nicknames for me, but we definitely have some ways we call each other.
Yeah. It's fun. And there's a specialness in that. There's like a magic in playing with each other and using pet names. And you've heard like Sugar and Sweetie and a Pumpkin. What kind of names have you heard as pet names that people?
We had Deer, things like that. But it's funny because in my marriage, we grew up, actually kind of on the tail end. We were in college when Seinfeld was big, you mm-hmm. know, so much of our little pet stuff yeah. is connected to Seinfeld. So what do we call each other? Smoopy.
Like that's that, great. You
know? Or actually literally I have as Elaine's ringtone on my phone.
Yeah.
There's a scene in Seinfeld where Jerry says, "Oh, Elaine." And I captured that. So when she calls me, I just said, "Oh, Elaine, oh, Elaine."
That's great. That's great. Did one try to make the other laugh?
I don't know if, I mean, again, we love to laugh, but that's an interesting question. I'm not necessarily, I can't necessarily think of anything like that.
Yeah, because I don't think my dad laughed much or tried to make mom laugh. And I think everybody tried to stay calm and live below. Sometimes my dad could get mad when he was younger. He would get upset in the room. "Don't upset dad," you know. Were your mom and dad, did you find them looking for each other? And, you know, to be pursued is an important thing. And this is a principle that I would like to pause a moment and teach is, we all want to be pursued. I want to know, when I've been looking for you. Oh, there you are. I've been trying to find you. I need you. We want to be pursued. Everybody wants that.
And I want to say this to the guys out there, because I think there might be some guys that are going, "I don't know about that," because they think of it maybe only in like a romantic sense.
Mm.
But here's the thing, guys, let me tell you, tell me how it makes you feel when you walk into any room and somebody spots you and says, "Hey, it's good to see." Yeah. I tell you, you like that.
Right.
You
absolutely.
Like that. When yeah. somebody comes across the room because they recognize you or they spot you, you like that. Now, so we need to be able to kind of break that outside of just a single like, "Oh, I want to be pursued romantically." Well, maybe, you know, that may be true, but every single one of us loves to be spotted.
And if you look for me, right, mm-hmm. and you call my name and you so show joy towards me or you enjoy me, right? That's like a kid thing.
Oh, yeah.
And yet
that's, can Johnny come out and play?
Yeah.
You know, that good. Kind of a thing, right?
Yeah, that's right. Somebody's looking for you. Somebody wants to recognize you and enjoy you and be your friend. And so did you see that your dad went looking for your mom and enjoyed her? Did your mom or dad come looking for you to pour into you and invest and enjoy you? Mm. Are you looking for and pursuing your wife? I had a guy tell me, "I made some changes because, you know, I messed up and I'm doing better now. And now I text my wife and I call her and we have a prayer room and I leave her a note in the prayer room. I'm thinking about her. I'm pursuing her."
That's awesome.
You know, yeah. And I think, wow, that woman has to know some guy's looking for her. Mm-hmm. Somebody wants her. That's a fabulous thing. And that's a piece of the connecting process, right? It doesn't just happen. We have to move towards. We have to use our language. We have to use our smile. We have to go find our spouse. Mm-hmm. And there's something about that is a part of the connecting.
That's good.
So did they have their own special language where they would talk a certain way or cut up a certain way?
Well, they did, but it was because of the U.S. military, the U.S. Army.
Yes? What was that?
Everything in the Army is some kind of acronym. Oh. So they could literally carry on a conversation with each other just talking in some of those acronyms. And my sister and I are like, "I don't know what they're talking about." So I don't know if that counts as a special language.
So I have to tell you a little insight about myself. We're Hispanic. We move into this neighborhood and there's no Hispanics around us. There's the Berries and the McCulloughs and the Kings and all these folks all around us, right? So my mother doesn't speak Spanish. So 5 kids, nobody speaks Spanish. We're Hispanic. It's an embarrassing story, sorry. But my mother said, "I didn't want you to have an accent. I didn't want the neighbors to think we were talking about them when we were yelling at you," you know, or something. So when my parents wanted to talk, they spoke Spanish. And we had no idea what they were saying. And this is the sad story of regret in my life. And, you know, I'm going to trauma treatment training because I've got this issue. Okay. If you saw good interactions between your parents and you watched them and you participated, then you learned good connecting. because they're your trainers. But if they yelled and they fought and they were distant and they got mad and they pulled away or they put up a wall or they used sarcasm.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love the list actually that we have just gone through of kind of this this test, so to speak, of asking, were these things happening? Because I think that already gives us a framework of like, okay, what does healthy connecting look like? What are some of these things?
Oh, that's good.
So, in fact, I'm going to go ahead and include these in the show notes because I think it's a good launch pad for saying, are these things going on in your relationship
as far as
like, hey, do you have pet names? Do you pursue one another? Are you close? You know, I mean, because this right here, I think, gives a good framework for starting to say, well, what does connecting look like? Because that's what we found out with a lot of these guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is as we're trying to help men, and we realize, okay, if we pull out the pornography, pull out these bad behaviors, in other words, get strong boundaries in and you're not doing those things anymore, well, then when we would get angry phone calls from wives 6 months later saying, what did you do to my husband? Because he's not any better. If anything, he's worse.
Yeah, right.
And we'd say, well, what's he doing? And, well, he's not looking at porn. Oh, my goodness, there's something else. Then a lot of times the guys would say, okay, if it's about like connecting and emotionally bonding, what does that look like?
Oh.
And I think here is a beginning of a picture.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what
good.
Does that look like? Are you pursuing? Are you learning to have your thoughts pointed towards her? Are you enjoying her? Are
yes.
you laughing with her?
Yes.
Are you inviting her into and hard spaces in your life?
Go to find her and sit with her and make her laugh. Right.
Yeah.
So either you're developing a good connection, which ultimately will serve you very well. Or you're surviving, you're coping, you're managing, and you're just getting by. And I am the son of a man who did not talk very much. She was very private. He was a mystery. The five kids sit around and go, I wonder what Dad was thinking, because he never told us.
Mm.
And so you can be a mystery or you could be on a mission. And our mission and our calling is about oneness, right? We are called to be one, one people. There's one baptism, right? There's one faith. There's one church. Oneness is everywhere, right? And the life of Christ calls us to enter in this fabulous possibility of connecting and bonding and oneness, which protects us, but is also a mission for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, you have a choice. You will live coping, surviving, managing, and getting by. Or you'll practice oneness, which is the call of your life.
Well, I think I just want to say, I think God has even used your life as an example that if you were raised and kind of programmed in a broken emotional way, that there's hope because... let's just say this, Stephen. I would not put you in the category of someone who doesn't talk. And I praise God for that because it's like, so the good news actually for our listeners is, man, by God's grace and his power, the mold can be broken. Like there can be a transformation. So no matter what the history was, even for those of us who had good parents that loved each other, whatever the history is of brokenness, because it's all broken in some way, there can be change. Like there can
Absolutely.
Be a growth mission that says, okay, if connecting is the goal,
yes.
then no matter what my history has been in terms of what I learned and what I was trained in,
I can do better.
There can be something new. Yeah,
I can grow. Right. That's full of possibility. Yeah. And I say, I honor my father for the sacrifice and the hard work. And I mean, he could have been a flake. He was an honorable man. He just didn't talk much.
Yeah.
And so I honor everything he gave me. I'm half his genes, right? And half mom. You know, so I hope you didn't hear any dishonor. But I hope you heard honest dialogue.
Yeah. And listeners, we do hope that this was an encouraging conversation for you to listen in on.
Yes.
Maybe it even prompted you about some things that you need to look at in your own history and maybe work through. We'd love to come alongside you in that and helping you work through those things. So please reach out to us for help. You can go to our website at puresexradio.com or connect with us on Twitter at Pure Sex Radio. But we're glad you've been with us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
God bless.
Take care.